and welcome to the Gamerland Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode number 534. With me, as always, is the one, the only. It has been said that only his subpar co-host could tease something that would never happen. It is the KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
No, that's called foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing? Is that what I did?
Yeah, yeah. We shouldn't talk about it.
And what you're doing is called ass covering.
Yeah. There is, when you go to film school, you'll learn this.
I start next week.
I'm so excited for you. I'm so proud. Your best year SAT.
I grew up so fast, didn't I?
Some would say not fast enough.
And we don't like those people, anymore.
The other day, I thought I was 36. I had it in my head, and then I was like, oh, damn it, I'm turning 37 this year.
Isn't it weird how you hit 30 and you don't remember your age?
Yeah, I'm so freaking old. And then I
was listening to an interview with Seth Rogen, and he literally, I mean, he's a pothead, so this doesn't help my point, but he literally was like, oh, am I 30 or 31? Oh. He was having a hard time figuring out his actual age.
I
don't know how serious you mean this, because I will forget my age.
Oh, no, I never do. And for some reason, I couldn't remember. And I had a long day and whatever. I actually logged on to our church's database and looked up my age. I wish. And the weird thing was, I knew.
Because it's easier than doing the math from the year you were born.
Because I kept doing it and I forgot when my birthday was for some reason. After living an entire life of knowing that no matter what year it is, it's one less than that because I was born so close to the end of the
year. Right now, I just forgot how old I was again. In the middle of this conversation, I went.
You're 34.
Yeah, I know I'm 34. Well, because here's what happened. While you're saying that, I was like, if I did the 79 thing, I could just when I was a kid, I always knew I was 1 year older than whatever the end of the year was.
Right.
And so then I was like, oh, 33. I'm like, wait, no, but I'm not. Is it work in the 2000s? Am I 34? I'm going to be 35 in January.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard with 30. Yeah. All I have to do is subtract or add 6 to my wife's age. And I knew she's not 30. So I don't know why I had a hard time.
White guy problems.
Oh, woo! When I was a kid,
they're not quite middle-aged here in suburbia.
Did you watch DuckTales when
you were a child? Oh my gosh, did I watch some DuckTales?
Did you really?
Oh my, yeah, I love that show. I'll tell you why I love that show.
How many years have we been
friends? This is why I love the show.
Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, razors, aeroplanes, it's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery.
Yeah, you got it.
Or rewrite history. DuckTales, woo! Every day that I've been waiting, DuckTales.
That's what I remember.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There's a daring do dial and do DuckTales.
Woo!
It's a stranger much behind you. It's a stranger out to find you. What to do? Just grab onto some DuckTales.
Woo!
Those robots were cool.
Yeah. We're watching a later season intro if it has the robots.
Oh, really?
Yep. That's a season 2 intro. And then you see Bubba.
Boom.
Yeah, so we're excited because the remastering of DuckTales has happened, and it was released on the PSN, and I imagine the Xbox something or other. But for those of you born before the year 2000, DuckTales was an extremely popular cartoon, and it launched the Disney Toon Studios, which is where we're getting Planes from this year.
Oh, really?
That just came out. Yeah. So
Planes is not a Pixar movie.
No. Ah. So Planes is fascinating because Planes was a direct-to-DVD. Most of the Disney Toon Studio movies are straight-to-DVD movies that are based on sequels or other franchises. They did, like, 7 of the Tinkerbell movies all come from them, and they did the Goof Troop movie. And Planes was by Disney. You notice it says Disney, not Disney Pixar.
Yeah.
And they had this movie in works for a while. In fact, if you go and crack open some of your earlier Disney films that are on DVD, it'll say coming to DVD and Blu-ray, Planes. And now it got released in theaters because it was doing so well in production that they decided this will have a strong theatrical release. It's only the second.
I don't know why it wouldn't. Like, here's what I think. The reason why it's straight to DVD is because it's like,
hey, it's kind of a knockoff of Cars, you think?
Yeah.
Because here's every, myself included, all of my kids, everybody in the in his preschool class, all of them are like, it's like Cars, but planes.
Yeah. That's exactly it. It's a brilliant idea. I haven't seen it yet. Oh, you haven't seen it. I don't know. I assume.
I'm probably going to go see it this weekend, I'm guessing.
I'll be with you. Yeah. Let's go.
That could happen on his birthday. I don't know.
So they had been working on the film or the show, and then they developed the DuckTales film that came out in, I don't think, 89 or 90. And that was the third to last thing they ever made to deal with DuckTales. Two more episodes were made after that.
Yeah.
And then the show was done, and they started making Chip and Dale and all the other shows after that. The thing that's exciting about it, if you look at their history of all the movies they made, it was like five more years before they made another movie, because they clearly made DuckTales mm-hmm. and then started working on the next film. And then now they have enough people and stuff where they can make multiple movies at a time, but it's a little different thing. But the DuckTales was fascinating for several reasons in the history of television, because they had a very different model for how their show was released than how we watch shows now. First of all, it was direct to syndication. So it was a cartoon show that had anchor shows on ABC, so it had a Saturday morning lineup, but then it also sold stuff direct to syndication. So you could be in a market where you could watch DuckTales on one channel on Saturday, and then Monday through Friday watching it on a different channel, which is how it played out in most markets. That's how it played out where you were. I know it was for me. Mm-hmm. They were on two different networks.
And you could watch them Monday through Friday. Yeah. And you watch, it would be the same episodes.
It would be different episodes. That's the point, okay. Is that they had a different run. They were doing simultaneous
runs. That's
what
I thought you had said. And, and I remember them, because obviously I don't remember them being on two different networks.
Yeah.
I just remember watching them every day after school.
Yeah.
And then watching them on Saturday morning.
Yeah, and they were two different groups.
Brilliant, in my opinion.
Then the thing, because you got six of it at a time. The other thing that is unheard of now that people just do not do when it comes to children's entertainment, and I think it's because the work DuckTales did, is that they released a new episode every day for the entire fall. Like, if you look at the release dates, it's every day they had a brand new episode.
Yeah, four seasons, 100 episodes total is what I'm looking at.
And the bulk of that are 60 episodes that were released inside like 90 days. Mm-hmm. It's something ridiculous. And now they know the kids would rather watch the same episodes again and again and again and again and again and again.
Oh my gosh, would they?
Yeah.
Brace yourself, my friend.
I can't.
Although
I can endure that storm.
This might be one of the few times you end up eating your words.
Really?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because here's the thing. I have zero to no patience for this, but the amount of repetition that you will, like, it's not, your adult brain could not wrap around the concept of how many times a four-year-old can watch Wreck-It Ralph in a week.
Dude, I would, that's such a great example, and the one I was going to get. When I got that movie on Blu-ray, we watched it that night, I put it on the next day, and I played it the following day. I watched it.
Here's how I'm going to help you.
Yeah, hit me.
If you can accept the gauntlet that your young son is about to throw down to you,
I love this plan.
You will be one of the coolest dads. He will go to school, and he will be able to tell his friends, I watched Wreck-It Ralph 40 times this weekend. And they will be like, my dad only let me watch it twice.
Here's the difference between you and me. Can you listen to the same song on repeat?
Yes.
Like, for hours?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
No, I didn't know that about you.
I can listen to that Hey Ho right now is Jack's favorite song.
Okay, and you don't mind that playing again and again and again?
No.
So what about having a movie on is so tiresome?
Because when
and they're long. I would think that would be better.
No, when I usually...
You can mark the hours.
I am trying to tell you.
You would know. It's 4 o'clock, now it's 6 o'clock, now it's 8 o'clock.
Okay, that's a good example. That's what it feels like. It feels like it turns what my life is, which is supposed to be a limited time that I have on this plane, mm-hmm. right? And it's just blatantly showing to me, this is how you're eroding it away. Just the constant repetition of the same thing. Like, every time I see those end credits, I know I have lost 2 hours of my life to something that I've already achieved.
Now, wait, are you saying that you're sitting on the couch with him watching that, or it's on and other things are happening?
I am sitting watching the movie, and well, here's the thing. I would like to sit and cuddle with my kids and watch a movie, because I love watching movies.
Yeah.
But I cannot watch Wreck-It Ralph back-to-back I cannot watch a doubleheader of Wreck-It Ralph. I can't watch Wreck-It Ralph and then the following day watch Wreck-It Ralph again. Or here's the thing. I could do that because to me, it's getting an unfair. Wreck-It Ralph is a great
movie. It's a great film.
It's a great movie.
That sounds like a good time.
It's unfair. What I guess I'm really talking about is like he has like some crappy King Kong movie too.
Yeah, see, now that's where you're going to challenge me.
But even if it's like Cars or Toy Story or Rise of the Guardians.
That one's not good.
He had to watch that again. Whatever new movie is out, he's got to watch it again and again and again. Epic. I just zapped Epic. Oh. And this is my way out of this, is that I pay $6 to instantly zap a movie to then have it only have a 48-hour lifespan.
Yeah, so then...
My movies now live like a fruit fly. Which is weirdly enough a joke from Epic.
So you can watch it for 24... You can watch it 24 times.
48 hours, yes. Yeah. I can watch it for 48 hours. And so my point, to get back to your point, is that I would like to sit there, but I can't. And what bothers me now is that there are times where we'll be watching a movie that I've already seen, and my mind is elsewhere.
Sure.
I want to go grab my Vita and play something.
And you can't do that because you're saying it's like father-son time, and you say, what do you want to do? And
it's
he says, I want to watch the same movie again.
Yes, it's family time. Now, here's where he's opened my eyes a little bit, in that video games, to me, they cross over this barrier.
Yeah.
So now it's a long-standing history on the show that I'm a guy who will play a game once, sell it, and then move on. But with my kids' games, much like I never had a DVD collection at all.
Yeah.
I owned four DVDs before I had children.
I remember.
The Star Wars trilogy and As Good As It Gets. Those were my four movies.
And As Good As It Gets was actually your wife's.
Borderline, this might be an overshare. Borderline pornographic because of my infatuation with Helen Hunt at that time of my life.
Interesting.
I've transitioned away. Listen. Don't think that I didn't enjoy that Sessions movie. Don't think for a minute.
She's like 70 now.
Stop it. Stop it.
All right.
You could say she's however old. She's a bit of all right to this guy. That's all I'm saying.
Definitely. Explicit tag. I feel it.
All I said wrong was the pornography word.
You can't say that word? No, I don't know.
Oh.
It's just not family friendly.
Oh, your mind went explicit is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying there's an explicit tag above our head now.
Well, make a note. But my point is, I was a big fan of her. That's why I like that movie. Just because I just loved her. I thought she was beautiful, enthralling. Like I would fantasize about having lunch with her. It was never sensual in any way, shape, or form. But if lunch went really well, I would take it to that level.
Would you like a sesame seed?
My new one
roll.
Now, and it's interesting, my new one is Reese Witherspoon. But that's not shouldn't be a topic.
When she was
actually,
back on... She
my
was
newer
on,
one...
She was on Alec McBeal back in the day.
Uh-huh.
Right?
She's a bit of all right. I can watch her
She's
talk.
Adam's family.
This is weird. But what I really like to do is I like to watch women talk more than I like...
You love to talk.
I do love to talk.
So it's like...
I also love to listen.
Mm-hmm.
But my newest one right now, I'm going through a Patty Heaton phase. Patricia Heaton of Everybody Loves Raymond fame, and also now on The Middle.
Oh, the mom.
On The Middle.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Oh, my. Pretty cool. She's a slice of all right for this guy. Right?
It's the third time you've said that expression I've never heard before tonight.
I'm just saying.
So anyway, meanwhile in the entertainment center.
In front of me and talk to me about philosophy. I would listen.
Entertainment Center! Well, challenge accepted. I would... it depends on the quality of the material of whether or not I would be able to gobble up a rewatching. Because I feel like I could rewatch Cars multiple times. Now...
Why we have all of the Pixar movies. It's because of the children movie phase, those are the most. I will tell you this right now as another heads up. Do not fall into the Disney vault. They do not hold up. You cannot watch
Pinocchio. Some of the early stuff. Yeah, yeah. No, no, no,
you
no.
Cannot watch Pinocchio. You cannot watch Cinderella. You cannot watch Snow White again and again and again. Beauty and the Beast?
Yeah, probably.
Tangled? Closer?
Oh, Tangled, absolutely.
Tangled, Beauty and the Beast and Tangled are the only ones.
Toy Stories?
Peter Pan? Can't even do that.
No, 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 no.
No way. Toy Stories I could do. I haven't seen the Toy Stories in a while. That's what, and it's interesting. Jack gets robbed because he doesn't get to do that. But yeah.
You have a table with those characters. Yeah. So before there was repetitive viewing, watching, there were the DuckTales, which is another Disney
property. What I talked about this on the last episode. Is that, are they saying Roo or is it Woo?
I think it's A-woo. Yeah.
A-woo.
When I see it in karaoke, it's A-woo.
Hold on.
Yeah.
You've gone to a karaoke show and sang the DuckTales theme song?
I wish.
Oh.
No, I hate karaoke. At E3, they had a booth where you could go in and sing the song.
Oh, that's brilliant.
As a song, because it's super
short. I
would
make the DuckTales song. Because here's the thing. If I was into karaoke, the DuckTales song, karaoke singers have their song, I guess.
Yeah, make yours.
DuckTales theme song would definitely be my song, because everybody would enjoy it. Probably one of the easily top five best things about that show.
I would agree. The thing that's interesting about the song is that it actually feels like half of a longer song, because melodically it begins in one place and ends in a totally different place. It has like almost a bridge that never comes back to its chorus. Like the end of the song feels like a bridge, and then it doesn't stop. It's like they're two different songs, which is probably part of the genius of it. Mm-hmm. But the other thing, I've started rewatching the show because it's on Amazon Prime.
What?
And
hold up?
Yeah.
Does it hold up?
Yes and no.
Oh.
The on one hand, it's blaringly 80s material. There are things that are just straight up inappropriate.
Such a sad generation we grew up in.
Oh, yeah.
Where we love things that you go back and like, because that's the thing. I love the DuckTales.
Yeah.
I could not tell you a single thing about any episode that I ever saw.
Oh, really?
Except for, what's the pilot's name? McQuack or something like that.
Launchpad
McQuack. I remember that, him. I remember liking him. And I love the theme song. That's the only thing
you can't
that
tell
up.
Me an episode. You can't tell me a narrative.
No.
Oh, gosh.
Easily one of my favorite shows during that time of my life. Easily. Yeah.
It's the point now during the rewatching, they're coming back to me like a dream. Like, oh. I can tell you the next beat. It's like because they're just ingrained inside of me like a song I don't know I knew. Mm-hmm. It hurts. It's a little weird.
And it's interesting, too. You watch the Ninja Turtles, you watch the Ninja Turtles now. Very good show. You watch Ninja Turtles.
Not so good.
Not so good.
So there's a scene in the very pilot, the very first episode, where Huey, Dewey, and Louie are being being attacked by this mysterious Mexican man who has a nickname. Oh, some other Mexican name later is Joaquin Slowly, and his ancestor Marchin Slowly. But that's what that show was all about, is puns that really ruined my education, because I'd try to be descrambling puns while in a test in geography. but they... So this Mexican guy is coming at them, and he goes, "I will play castanets with your heads." I was like, "Oh, that's kind of dark. That's a little dark. That's probably not okay."
No, it's good.
Children
today ignore that. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, they just fly right over their heads. Some of the narratives are a little campy, as you would expect. And that might be the same for a lot of TV shows that are aiming at the same age group. I'm not sure, because DuckTales skewed a little young. But the animation is better than most animation now, where computers
really
can
good.
Do it. The love.
That was all by hand, you think?
I know.
Oh,
it was
really?
Before computers. There weren't computers drawing these cartoons.
I didn't know that.
Transformers had no computers. It was all hand-drawn stuff back
then.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. All that, like, intricate robot moving, all that was models that they then drew hand by hand. So it's a Disney cartoon, right? So they had a level of standard for animation that most television was not doing. I think that's why it made such a big splash, because up until then you were dealing with like GoBots and Transformers, which look like Japanese things. So you just have like the very limited amount of like G.I. Joe's really low animation, Hanna-Barbera really low animation. Disney comes on the scene with this television show, and you know, every character is so expressive, and characters are having conversations and reacting and looking and moving. And the pilot so far, I'm still in the first five episodes, which were the pilot, the same level of animation the whole way through. So I'll let you know 30 episodes deep if if it crashes. Of course, season two is where it gets great, where Gizmo shows up, and then later Darkwing Duck and their whole spinoff.
Oh, so. Darkwing Duck!
Yeah. Well, this is
another great theme song.
Yeah.
When there's trouble, you call DW.
Darkwing Duck. More Gizmo Duck and Launchpad. So the remastering of it, of this game that clearly resonates with so much of us from our generation is...
I don't remember the game, though.
Okay, so the game is by Capcom, and it was for the Nintendo, and it was a kind of Mario side-scrolling game.
Yes, now I remember. Yeah.
But so
you could play as different characters.
Nope, you were only Scrooge, which was unusual. And the thing that was funny about
he would fight with his cane.
Yeah, so that was the thing. Now, personal story is
Launchpad McQuack game mission on that game. No,
he's in it. They're all in it. They have cameos, but you don't play as him. There maybe is one.
Maybe that's
battle.
Why I didn't like the game.
Yeah,
I remember playing it, going, and then because I love that show. Have I said that I love that show?
Yeah, I can feel it. We should have viewing parties. So as Scrooge McDuck, you have you move around left or right, jump up and down, all that kind of stuff. You. Gosh, I don't understand how we were able to do this, but there, we got to a place through renting the video game that we weren't able to play it. My brother and I was probably 11, he was probably 8, and he is an idiot savant of video games. And we would actually get to a place where we were like, I don't know how to do this. Like, there's nothing, I don't understand how I can get over this wall or whatever, beat this guy, they just kill you.
I remember that feeling too with this game.
Yeah, so there was a lot of like dodging and moving, and eventually we gave up. So then we subscribed to Nintendo Power, and the Nintendo Power magazine came up and it said, don't forget to use your pogo move in this place. And our minds were blown. We're like, what's a pogo move? And we actually saw it on the screen. We didn't know that you could kill enemies. And we didn't know that you could do double jumps. So what you do is with this cane, because it's totally makes sense, you like crouch onto the cane. Yeah. And you boom, you pogo on it and jump around. And if you are holding the pogo down, your cane down, and you land on an enemy, you'll kill him. If you don't, like Mario Brothers, you just try to jump on him, you'll die. Mm-hmm. So we thought that it was a game of just dodging, and we had no idea how to get onto high ledges that you had a pogo jump. You also walk up to certain bricks, and the character's tail would wag, Scrooge McDuck's tail would wag. You could hit a button, and he would golf swing and knock it, fly it into the air. We didn't know that either. So we didn't know how to play this game.
I think I didn't know that. I never got the Nintendo Power.
Yeah, it was never in the instructions, so yeah. You just played it, and so when we got that, then our minds were blown, and we could actually play through a bunch of the game. I think we eventually owned it. So fast forward to modern day, the remastering of it is great. They got the original cast from the show back together, because the game in 89 didn't have voices. They couldn't put voices in video games back then. The cast has aged. Scrooge McDuck definitely sounds tired. Terry McGovern, who is Launchpad McQuack, sounds the same as he ever did, and that dude's got to be in his 70s. We knew him from our time.
Voice.
He is a great voice. He still sounds great. Huey, Newt, and Louie, a couple of them I think have been recast due to age and whatever. Then they took the love of it's an HD, so the backgrounds, instead of being a static color like they were in before, are actually three-dimensional moving backgrounds. The foreground moves and is actual three dimensions, but you still move on a two-dimensional plane.
So it's the same narrative as the first game.
Close. So then the animation is all hand-drawn. Yeah.
Wow.
It's not a computer. They're not computer models. Well, they are computer models, but they're essentially sprites that are hand-drawn. Drawn animations.
Wow.
So everything that the characters do is all cell by cell digitally laid on top of each other. So it's gorgeous, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And then, so the story was originally there were just these five random levels on a computer, and then a final boss battle that made no sense at all. So they've gone back in and they've added a story to it.
Oh, okay.
So there's a zero level that teaches you how to use those weapons. Teaches you how, like, the Beagle Boys break into the money bin, and this whole new mission where you get them out and you rescue the boys and then kick them out of the money bin, and then you find this piece of paper that you put into the supercomputer, and that's where you get your list of the five levels. So that's great. There's a level zero, and then they built a level after that, after you finish those five levels, that lets you that explains the final boss battle and the final thing that happens within it. So all that's really great, and it's a bunch of fun nostalgia, and the very first thing that you want to do is accessible to you. You're in Scrooge McDuck's office, and you can stand in the center, activate a button, open up the money bin, jump inside, and swim around!
Yeah!
It's like, I thought I'd have to play the whole game to do it, and I was like, when do I get to get it? Because you couldn't do it before. The very first thing you get to do, swim around in the money awesome. Bin. So,
I'm going to watch these shows with my son now.
Yeah, please, well, start.
Yeah. Is it free on this Amazon Prime?
The first season is free on the Amazon Prime, yeah.
Boom.
Get back into it. It's pretty great, and it's pretty cheap to download it. It's gorgeous, and if you're not nostalgic for DuckTales, maybe you were born in the 90s and you don't know or care or think this is like a baby's toy, you'll still enjoy it. It's a pretty good game, and it's pretty funny. If you like Disney, you
can't play
it
on the Vita though.
No, you cannot, and that's definitely where it belongs. Ugh. We're gonna have to talk about that later.
All right.
So that's what I'm playing in the entertainment center. What are you playing?
I'm playing God of War Ascension. I am furiously trying to finish it so that I could play Last of Us. That's just what I'm trying.
Do you own Last of Us?
Nope. It's on my wish list, taunting me. And the only reason
do you have like an old school Netflix wish list where it's like you're just waiting for something to come into the queue?
Kind of. Yeah. That's where I keep all of my games so that I don't forget. Like in there now is the Deadpool game, the Deus Ex. Game that they made for the because I enjoyed the first one, then so the one they made one for PlayStation 3 that I've been tempted to get, and that's like at $12. But I've talked about it when we did the Comic-Con episode. But Heath has so upsold Last of Us that I'm salivating.
That's Heath Heitch, famed comedian.
He is ruined,
glorious man of
God of War Ascension because of his talk of Last of Us. Like
that's on the.
If I get a little bored playing this game, I'm gonna bail. I'm going to bail.
You're playing that on the PS3, right?
PS3.
And how's it hold up?
The game?
Yeah.
The game is gorgeous to look at. I'm not that into the story of the game. Like, I really like...
What more can they do?
I know. That's the thing, though. It's like... this is gorier.
He's God. He's not a God. He's the son of a God. He runs the nation. He does it. And every time he starts back with no powers. Like, I'm an outcast and I have to prove myself. He ran the universe.
This one has, in my opinion, this one has little to no story and a lot of gameplay. And while I'm not critical of them, but it's like there's something about that chick, Kratos, you know, the chick from, she used to be in all the horror movies when we were kids of the 80s and 90s. The little person, damn it. Now I got to look her up.
What are you talking about?
She voices the narrator. For the Gods of War, and she's just got a great, great voice. Here, let's see if it'll. This is the third game. Come on, talk, chick, talk, so I can find your name. Seriously, you're not gonna.
The hands of death could not defeat him.
Oh yeah. Okay.
The sisters of fate.
You know what I mean? She's
a,
kind of like a little person.
Yeah.
And on this day, the man, the legend, Kratos. Will have his revenge.
Yeah, so she's got this Linda Hunt. There it is. That's her name. But she's got this great voice, and I liked hearing. And it was very well acted. I've enjoyed all of the games, even the PSP version that I played too. Like just the story and the narrative of it. I like the whole Greek mythology thing, but. This one I'm having a hard time keeping up with, and I don't know if it's because I've broken it up so much that it's hard for me to stay up with, or if it literally has been ruined because I just want to play Last of Us.
Why can't you just play Last of Us and come back?
Having this conversation, I think I'm just
I don't
play
understand
Last of
why
Us,
you so. Do these things to yourself. you could play multiple
masochist.
Games at once. I play multiple games at the same time. Yeah. And
it's
better.
My wallet.
No, it's a buffet of life. Nope. You just here's what you have to do is you keep them on your shelf a little longer. You sell them anyway.
I think I still have Hitman too. Oh gosh, I gotta get rid of these games. Anyway, but
I beat Halo 4 by the way.
Whoa,
did I talk about that yet?
No.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Oh, that was a good one.
It's not my turn. I just want to.
I got
you know.
Madden 25 today, and I'm so bummed because my sons got their flu shots and did not cry at all. And so,
that makes you sad?
No.
Because they're stronger than you? Because when you get boo-boo, you go cry-cry?
I did not say it that way. I said owie. When I get owie, I go cry-cry. They were so amazing that and Jacob is on this Batman, the Lego Batman 2. He's on this huge kick for that, and so... I told him, he was like, can we play that when we get home? I said, of course. He's off school this week.
I see.
Like, he's home, but that next week they
Why do you have no school this week?
They took a week off before their
because the school
their session starts after Labor Day, and I think they just do it because it's just a preschool.
Got it.
I think they do it just this way because then they work for 3 days this week to clean up the school, and then they get a 4 day weekend.
That's nice.
Get to refresh and then come back anew. But
so he has his birthday, and then
goes back to school.
Happy birthday!
And then a week later, he has his birthday party at school where Leonardo and Donatello. Will be coming to his
which
preschool.
One am I?
No, we will not be doing that.
Oh, really?
There was a time in our lives. Had I had my children 10 years earlier than I did, there was
5 years. If it was 2007.
Seven years earlier, I would have only been able to have swing you and I dressed up as, it would have to be a full mask.
We would have done it.
Oh, we would have done it. I'm not questioning whether or not we would have done it. I'm questioning about how much my desire would be to not wear the costume versus how much it would cost me. You see what I'm saying?
See, I would have done it. I would have bought my own costume 5 years ago.
I would have bought them for us.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. And then I would have bought another one, and we would have gotten Costa to do it.
Good call. Or we could have just asked him for his then employer.
Yeah. Can we borrow these?
Just to do it. But so I'm salivating to play this Madden 25. The football season is starting. We are just hitting. I don't know how you – I know we talked about this via text, but we've talked about it a lot on the show is that we've done like a Gamerland, even though it's called the SFP League from the old name, but we've done our own little league. We don't have any listeners in the league anymore. We just have friends, but I like it, and I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm just going to keep going. And with this football season starting, and we just started the playoffs, which is my favorite time of the football
season.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
And it's in our game.
It's a little weird that it kind of feels strange to be playing the playoffs at the same time as kickoff weekend.
Yeah.
Is kickoff weekend this Sunday? No,
no
it's the
no,
following
no, no.
week.
It's the weekend after Labor Day.
Yeah, after this.
So, and
this weekend when this episode premieres.
I'm excited because I'm going to create another league for myself in Madden 25, and I'm going to see who else wants to join it, but...
Now, is Madden 25 available on the PS4 as well?
Yes.
Okay. And so, why didn't you buy the digital copy so that you could have...
Because I did not know that until I'd already...
Why didn't you return it?
I purchased the Madden 25 because I just want to play the game.
I see.
I purchased the Madden 25 game back in March. In fact, I didn't know this. Heads up for anybody who uses an Amazon thing and moves. If you buy things ahead, like I sometimes like to do, like a game that I know I'm going to purchase, I just buy
it. Or a console.
As soon as it's announced that it's going to release. If you buy it, even if you update your address, it still ships to your old address.
Is your PS4 coming here? Or
yeah,
to your
I checked
old...
that. No, it's coming to my. It's coming to here. But I had to go to my old address, and I had to bug the people that were at my old address because it didn't get left outside the door. Like, I was salivating to get that game. But as I was saying, because my kids took their flu shot, no tears, I ended up playing Lego Batman with my son and then building my wife's bike for her birthday present. Have not been able to touch Madden 25. But during the recording of this first episode, you may have noticed I was drinking an iced coffee as opposed to my usual ginger ale or water. That is because it will not my eyelids will not be seen by my pupils without the seeing at least the opening poem that Sir Lewis has come back with us this year.
I can't wait.
Some kind of Def Jam poet of speech of Martin Luther King-esque passion.
How incredible. You know, our buddy Justin, another Justin, started playing the game halfway through the season. It was after the Super Bowl when he started playing. And he said, so did that thing with Ray Lewis exist before the Super Bowl? I said, oh yeah, they got lucky. Like he was the MVP, right? Mm-hmm. They got the MVP doing this whole intro thing. And then he goes on, like, he had a good year.
But notice he was not the cover athlete.
Yeah. Those are
hardcore Madden fans know that the cover athlete always has a horrible season.
Yeah. Well, that's like the kiss of death.
So this is
don't
the first
we vote
time,
those in?
Now you do.
Yeah.
It used to be that they were chosen. And it was funny because Marshall Faulk, he was like, they were like,
who?
Dude, he was a running kidding. Back for the Rams, but he was such an amazing player that he's the only three-time, I think, Super Bowl MVP or something like that. Or no, I'm thinking of the wrong person.
That's not him.
Yeah, that's not him. But anyway, I think that's John Elway. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So anyway, I think he's the only three-time cover athlete because that's a whole other thing that may not be Entertainment Center related, but he was like, this guy is going to break the Madden curse. And then he cracked his femur or something, like got an injury on the second year or something that he was on the cover.
Oh,
I can't remember what it was, but even he
rolled the dice.
Was not he was not immune to it. But on a similar note, and then I'll wrap it up with this, but that I watched the Madden Pro-Am, Madden Pigskin Pro-Am, where they played on the USS Midway in the harbor of San Diego, and I thought it was just, it was basically a publicity, like, it was a huge commercial for Madden 25. I'll be damned, Kevin, if I did not thoroughly enjoy this football game.
Oh, really? Like, it was a real game?
They had Troy, they had their own rules. They had Troy Aikman was the quarterback on one team. Dan Marino was the quarterback on the other.
Nice.
They had receivers of Deion Sanders, Jerry Rice, Tim Brown. I can't remember who the receiver was for the other. And then they had actors, like James Vanderbeek was thrown in there, and a couple other people that I didn't really know. Trisha Helfer, for our other nerd friends of Battlestar Galactica, was on the team. Not an issue. Like, she was not a contender at all.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Didn't
Wait,
really...
these are real humans?
Real humans that are playing on a battleship.
Trisha, she was Starbuck.
Yeah.
Wait.
No, she wasn't Starbucks. She was number seven. The one of the. Silence.
I'm sorry. Again, these are real humans playing a real football game.
Real flag football game.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. And so it was great though, because here's the thing that was so funny is that, like, Marcus Allen and these guys that are Hall of Fame players, would get uber competitive. Like Marcus Allen catches a little pass. And he wants to make it clear to the ref. He goes, because they had, like, special rules.
Yeah,
if you caught it on the Xbox logo, you get 3 points just for catching a pass while standing on the Xbox logo. So Deion Sanders drew up a play that was meant just to be a quick 3-point score, and you get to keep the ball. You could call in, like, a gold ball.
I love this game.
It was great. You could call it a gold ball, and if you scored a touchdown with the gold ball, you would score 12 points as opposed to 7.
When is this game coming out? This is Mutant League Football.
It was awesome.
I would get an Xbox for that.
I was glued to it. And then, but here's the thing. I'm curious to see how this plays out. I was watching a TiVo'd like an hour later, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They said on the beginning of it, they go, the first 25 people to tweet that they are watching the Madden Pigskin Pro-Am will get a free copy of Madden 25.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I just happened to notice as the game was winding to a close, I tweeted. I said, I am amazed at how awesome this Madden, something like that.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of our listeners said that I'm amazed that you're actually talking about something that isn't the VMAs, because that was what was going on at the time. So anyway, I go back, and then at the end, I go, I don't think this thing would be highly viewed or whatever. So I go back and I look, I was number 21 of the tweets, and there was like only 6 or 7 other people that were like, they were only tweeting specifically because that's what they said.
So where's your game?
I don't know. Like, I'm curious. They were all asking, hey, I'm in the first 25. Where's my game?
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I'm curious.
Because I need a copy of that game.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. Well, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, if I get it, I'll just give it to Kevin. But I'm just curious to see if the other thing is that it might have to be for Xbox, because it was an Xbox event.
Yeah, it would have to be Xbox.
Balls, but I could sell it and use it to buy the PlayStation 1. But
the PS3.
Anyway.
So I heard that Madden 25, I'm trying to look it up here, but I'm not seeing it.
It's made for you. There's a strong chance.
Yeah,
if I don't buy Last of Us, I might just buy it. Because that's also the reason why I asked you about the... This is way too much Madden talk, but...
No such thing.
Yes, there is. It's happening right now.
Madden Maximum.
That's why I asked you if you were still interested in playing the game, because this year, supposedly, I wanted to look at it first. This year, they're toting this owner in the connected career.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, the only way that this is interesting to me personally is if you are only an owner. Now, they have to let you play the game, but by being an owner, there has to be some difference within the option of saying that you don't have final say on what happens. You just say, you have to build it from afar. You know, because otherwise we're all already owners, head coaches, and
yeah,
and
in
players,
the game. Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Because you do so much.
Which I don't disagree with. I'm not saying that's a bad way of doing it, but I'm curious to see, because somebody wrote us into the show a while ago when we were going through emails, but that they said, are you curious to see where you can adjust ticket prices and all that stuff? And like I said then, on the previous games that you could do that, it was just like a side game that pointless, like trading ships in Assassin's Creed games and stuff like that.
It's like a mini game that's
sending guys out on missions that sounded far more interesting than the submissions you were doing in the game on Assassin's Creed. I think that was 3 or 2. But or Brotherhood. It was one of those that was like two
Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
So if the case is to where you build a team, you make all these decisions, but you don't necessarily have to rely on your football knowledge to be able to play the game, then in that case, it's made, yeah, that makes this league very fun for you.
Because that's the thing I miss now that we were in that second fictional season, and we'll be starting a third fictional season in our current league, is the connection to reality. I really enjoyed playing the same season as we did. That would be fun to me, is to play the games in real time, to be like, to let the, either play them concurrently with the games or play them like a day or two before or after.
But see, to me, what makes this so much fun is that you, right now, had to deal with Tom Brady retiring at the end of the first season of our league, and now you got this number one draft pick that
that's
you
cool
traded
too.
For. And that, what I like about it is that I used to pay, when I was hardcore into Madden, there was a guy that you would mail one of those PlayStation memory cards to, and what he would do is he would simulate through and export the draft, because you used to be able to, for the NCAA football game, you would be able to play that game, export the draft class, and then import that draft class into your Madden. But because they're college players and their names would eventually become licensed properties of the NFL Players Union, they could not give them their actual names. So they were all just the numbers that they had on their team. But you could edit each of the players on your own as an option. So this guy would go through every single player in all of the NCAA college teams and give their names.
And once he did it once, then he just copy-pasted.
He would just he would export that roster, and then he had a way of transferring that roster onto memory cards. Yeah. So you could pay, I think it was like $30, and mail him in your memory card. He would transfer it onto it and mail it back to you. And I had the first, so you would get 4 years of draft classes that were actual players, to the point where I remember there was a friend of mine that used to live across the street that at this time, this was like 10, 12 years later, was a third string offensive tackle for the UNLV Rebels. And I went to check to see, I'm like, if his name is there, then this guy really did his homework and he did all of them. Because it's easy just to get the stars.
Sure, yeah.
Sure enough, Chris Hines was there as a third string offensive tackle for UNLV. And I was like, if he comes up in the draft, I'm drafting him. Like, but I never made it.
That one of the versions I heard for the Madden 25 is that it comes with some sort of NFL rewind. Like, you can get a deluxe package, and you can also get access to watching the games live on your computer and such. So I'll have to look into that, see if that...
I wish I could have given you. I think I threw away those things. It didn't have NFL rewind. Yeah. It had an advertisement for Sunday Ticket in mine.
Yeah, just an ad for it.
Yeah.
Let's go to the sandbox.
I made a castle without water. Try to break this down.
You did kind of already talk about the magic of sports-related video games, but we could discuss some remastering of games. Having talked about DuckTales, I think that there is something to be said about this current trend of remastering video games. Ratchet and Clank has got remastered, of course. Sly Cooper had its remastering. Jack and Daxter has got a remastering. Oddworld remastering. Now DuckTales remastering.
And I know it's a topic I think we're borderline beating to death, but I think all of our listeners would agree that I would love for all of these remasterings to include Vita copies. Like, you got to put some of this stuff on the Vita,
because
these are great games that I would love to play, but I do not want to play them on my PlayStation.
Yeah.
I'm a guy who plays Last of Us, God of War, and Madden, and that's it. That's my PlayStation games. I don't play a whole library. I'm a 30-something year old man with two children. Now, what I do have time is that when I'm away from my house and my TV is occupied by watching Wreck-It Ralph for the 48th time, then I would love to. If I had Ratchet and Clank on my Vita, I would be all over that while those kids are playing, and I would not be able to resist the urge.
It's coming.
Oh, good.
And so is Jack and Daxter is already available.
Already there.
Yeah, and Ratchet and Clank is on its way. And Sly Cooper, I would hope, is getting over to the Vita very soon.
The Sly Collection.
The Sly Collection, we've seen the remaster, Thieves in Time already there. Eventually. I mean, how great would that be? But, that's the thing. We were talking about that before because you wanted to talk about the lack of a deep library on the Vita. And I feel like we're a year and a half into this thing, and they did promise us more content. The thing you said, not just games you've played before, but new games. I don't know if we've really seen much of that. There's a lot of there's a lot of smaller games. There's a lot of indie games, and there's a lot of...
Which is great.
There's a lot of pinball games, but there are not, with the exception, I mean, Little Big Planet, and Little Big Planet Vita, and whatever the Nathan Drake game is.
Uncharted.
Whatever the name
they
of
made
it is.
They did a Call of Duty one that was horrible.
Yeah.
Because I almost bought it and I heard it was horrible. And then they did Assassin's Creed, which was pretty good.
Yeah. Those are the
Uncharted was great.
Those are the three that have been successful AAA titles. Direct to Vita only.
You could throw Madden in there, even though the Madden that you're playing at Madden 13 is really like Madden, I would say, 06 or something like that.
I'd say you have to, I mean, those are obligatory when it comes to a game library. Like, that's going to be
there. Formula 1 2011, yeah, I those, bought that.
Yeah, those, I mean, FIFA, those are on there, but those are going to be everywhere. Like, you can play FIFA on your iPhone. But to play, to like, a game, and they weren't designed, I mean, Madden is other places.
When we talk about FIFA on your iPhone isn't going to be as good as FIFA on the Vita.
No, my point is, like, games that were designed for the Vita.
Yeah.
The PlayStation, or Little Big Planet Vita, the Uncharted Gold Vita,
thank you,
and Assassin's Creed Vita.
I'm going to finish Little Big Planet on the Vita instead of playing the Siphon Filter 2.
Let's play. It's fantastic. But here's the deal. All three of those... Then the one exception I think of is Gravity Rush, because all three of those that I just mentioned are not...
Sound Shapes or...
Yeah, see, that's a small... That's a little
game.
That's
an indie game?
That's an indie game, and it's cross-buy. And it may not be any indie, but the point is it's not a AAA title. You can't look at that and be like, that game cost them 5 years.
I see what you're saying. You're saying that let's see some representation as if the Vita is its own console.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gravity Rush is the only game that I can think of.
Let's take what it brings and create something that is just for that.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we don't see that, I'm guessing, is because the Vita sales pale in comparison to an Xbox or a PlayStation.
I'm not sure. There's a I assume that seems to be the only logical explanation, but you also see other third parties deliberately not adding their game to that library. Skylanders is this, it's like the notable omission from the Skylander lineup. You can play Skylanders on the Wii, the Wii U, the PS3, the PS4, the Xbox 360, the Xbox One, the iPhone, the iPad. I mean, they have their own portal for this. The Nintendo DS, the 3DS, not the Vita. It's like the one console.
Yeah, why not have the iPhone game on the Vita?
Or the 3DS version on the Vita. Yeah. Like,
oh, I don't even know what the 3DS version
that's
is.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it exists.
But it doesn't need the portal of power.
It does. It has its own.
The 3DS uses
the 3DS has its own portal of power. It requires infrared. There would be a technology change.
Yeah.
But to your point, like, there are other versions of this, but they are suspiciously absent. And I think it's because they've done their homework, because they know these things, and they say, well, our target audience is do not own Vitas.
Yep.
I don't know how entirely true that is, because I know I've seen 10-year-old boys. I know some. I have a nephew that's one that plays Vita, plays Sly Cooper, plays all those things on a Vita. It's a viable medium.
He also have a PlayStation?
No, he doesn't, which is what I thought.
That's what it is. That's what it all comes down to, is that if I'm a parent and I've got to drop $400, I'm going to do it on the PlayStation, because it's more likely that my kid is going to be there, and a DVD player for the car rides that are the road trips I might pick them on, that's $100.
Interesting.
Plus the cost of the DVD that I could rent for $1.99.
To me, I feel like the Vita is a better choice, because then they can hold it in their hands, they can watch it in the car, they can sit in a restaurant and use it. The games are cheaper,
right?
More compact.
But what you're not thinking of is that dollar amount.
That's what I'm saying. They are cheap. The Vita is cheaper than the PS3.
I know, but how much is the Vita now?
They dropped it. It's $199.
Right. So that's what I'm saying, though. For $200, you get the Vita. You still have to pay $60 for a game.
$40.
You know what I mean? Whereas for $100, you can either pay $20 to be able to watch a video, which is also, you could watch at your TV. Like, that's what I do. I pay, I think, $25 for a DVD Blu-ray combo pack for everything I get for the kids, because they can watch the DVD in the car, and then they can watch a Blu-ray at the house. And then you couple that, or you could just go to a Redbox and get most of the DVDs for $1.99 for a road trip.
Or for $500, you get an iPad, which has a bunch of games and movies.
Educational stuff.
Yeah. All right. But the thing is, the 3DS is still killing it in the market, or has done rather well, has been strong.
How much does it cost?
I'm not sure. They just dropped their price as well. The thing is that the PlayStation or Sony has not given up on the Vita, but I would love to see, and the library is getting thicker, and they add new titles more regularly. But to our point, that we just don't understand is these games that seem like they would make obvious choices to fill out the library.
Platform games should be the place that you play all of your platform games should be on the Vita.
Yeah.
And while I'm not saying they should not be on PlayStation 3, but it is pure insanity, in my opinion. There has to be something in the way that it's programmed in the Vita that it costs way too much money and that they lose money, because to me, it's you could get people to double down.
Well, we'll see what happens when the PS4 comes out, because it's supposed to be a perfect companion device for it. So if people begin to see, if they can treat the Vita as a peripheral for as a peripheral controller for the PS4, that will change everything. And then everybody must have a Vita in their hands. And my stock will go up. You will send my children to college. It doubles and triples in mine. What I wanted to talk about remastering, I mean, there's a little bit of like, are we cheating by getting away with this? Like this remastering of games that are only 15 years old, if that. Like, when I play them, I'm like, yeah, they're in HD. The sound is a little better. I get that. But don't I already have that sitting on my shelf?
Yeah, but you can't play it anymore.
Because I don't have my PS2 hooked up. That's fair. All right, I'm on board.
And you don't have that console anymore.
So are they going to keep getting us in this way? Like, how many versions of Super Mario Brothers do you own it? Do you own? Like, how many, you know, how many copies of this for
different
systems?
Do I actually own?
Yeah.
I only own the one that is downloaded through the Wii.
You had it on the Game Boy.
Oh, did I buy?
Yeah.
I see. I thought you were asking, like, do I own right now?
Yeah. No, owned.
So I bought
purchased.
It on Nintendo.
Yeah.
When I bought the Nintendo, it probably came with the Super Nintendo. Yeah. I've had every Nintendo.
Yeah.
Except for the GameCube.
And the 64.
And the six. No, I had a 64.
Did you really?
Mario Party. That's the one that had the center stick, right?
Yeah.
When we played Mario Party at Jeremy, I bought a Nintendo 64.
That's right, you did.
Because Natalie loved Mario Party so much. Hmm. So I had a Nintendo 64 and a PlayStation at that time, and then now the Wii. So I've had every single one except for the GameCube, right?
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah.
So whatever came with that, although I was never a Mario person.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
My point is just
so
that, like,
I'm trying to think of what kind of game is remastered. This Vita is the closest thing that people are to getting me.
Yeah.
In on that, in that I've bought Abe's Odyssey. I bought the Japanese port of Mega Man. That was just a flushing of $10.
He said port.
Yeah.
Port.
Yeah.
Not porn.
Huh?
Not porn.
I don't know what they're saying in Japanese.
It sounded like you said Mega Man porn.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Oh. 12-year-olds all over the world were...
Hey, Mom, can I have $10 in my Mega Man?
Check that. Christmas list is all Vita. All Vita.
She's got to get a Mega Man game. He's got... His name is Bullseye.
I wonder... And then meanwhile, girl gamers are like...
Oh, 13-year-old. Let's go to the news feed. Meanwhile, on fire. These keep getting better.
I had a news ship that arrived. That's what mine was.
Sailing. You stumbled across an article on Elon Musk. Musk, who invented the Tesla, who's the real live Iron Man. He has nothing to do with gaming. We just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, Elon Musk might be the real life Iron Man, teases rocket designed in thin air. If you've ever seen one of the Iron Man movies, you'll remember. Now, for those
the what?
Yeah, he's a series of. Super, we got. By the way, that's a whole other side thing. I don't think we have time for. But isn't it crazy that there's even talk of Robert Downey? I was frustrated when I heard this. Robert Downey Jr. is no longer interested in doing the Iron Man movies. He's already going to do Avengers 2, but after that, he would like to step down from the franchise. Mark Wahlberg is throwing his hat into the ring, which I think is hilarious.
The only reason I could think that is because he's old. Like,
yeah.
You look at him, you're like, he looks tired, and you know,
no.
he's done it.
Robert Downey Jr. could do it. There's nobody else that could pull it off.
No one will be.
Yeah, as good.
That's like, here we are, James Bond again.
Yeah.
Because when
Why is it, like, I just don't get it. Like, they're making so much money. Why can't you just keep giving the fans what they want? So frustrating.
He was on Saturday Night Live. He doesn't need your fandom.
I hate it. I hate that there's going to, like,
it's true,
so
kids.
Interesting
look it up.
How,
he was on
why
Saturday
is it
Live.
That Batman could go through that? Like, now that the internet was a flurry with Ben Affleck being announced as the new Batman in the Man of Steel movies. And
which isn't a Justice League movie, by the way. It's a crossover movie.
Yeah.
It's just a crossover. So
it's not
like
even a crossover movie. It's
just a new...
Batman is a character in the sequel to Superman, Man of Steel.
Oh, is that all it is?
That's all it is. It's not even... And That's it. Like, I don't know if they're and the some of the verbiage that I read was that they're announcing that Ben Affleck will be the new Batman if they decide to make other movies. You know what I mean? So why is it, though,
it's
that
like
Batman,
Amazing Spider-Man, why are we rebooting?
Is it because
this
of our childhood? Like, why is it Batman could go through all these iterations and I'm not offended when the new one comes in? Like, I'm like, great. So Ben Affleck could be Batman. What is it about the Iron Man idea
because
he nailed it?
Because Ben Affleck, George Clooney, any of them are not the first Batman. Adam West was Batman. And he's the proto-Batman. So everything else on that are spins on Batman. Tony Stark is Robert Downey Jr. Who else has played him at that level? I mean,
holy solid points.
Yeah. He's the guy.
Yeah.
He embodies everything, mean, to the point where the Marvel comics are drawn to look like him now,
yeah.
Not the other way around.
Yeah.
Same thing they did with What's His Bucket when he started playing Wolverine.
Yeah.
They started making him look more and more like
thin and
taller, even though he's always been under 5 foot.
Yeah.
Wolverine has always been over 5 foot.
A stout, almost borderline chubby, hairy man.
Yeah. And then they are like, this guy's good.
Yeah.
Look him up. Eli Musk is the real Iron Man.
Well, he's invented a new way to travel through like a sonic tube that would be pushed with compressed air. He's the guy behind the sporty high performance electric car. He's also, like you were saying, he's behind getting people into space. Like you could just book a flight and go up into space. But this is his newest thing. Is you'll remember some of the scenes where Tony Stark stands in front of a holographic panel and moves his hands in the air to design his suit or form his plans to save the world. It seems futuristic and like science fiction, but Elon Musk, the founder and CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, said he has come up with a way to design rockets in just that way. Someone just needs to get the man a holograph generator. Musk tweeted on Friday that he had come up with a way to design rocket parts just with hand movements through the air. Seriously. Now need a high frame rate holographic generator. So that's who this amazing man. Favreau said in Time Magazine's 2010 Time 100 issue that when I was trying to bring the character of genius billionaire Tony Stark to the big screen in Iron Man, I had no idea how to make him seem real. Robert Downey Jr. said, we need to sit down with Elon Musk.
Oh, wow.
At SpaceX, Musk has previously designed the Falcon 1 and Falcon 9 rockets. In 2008, SpaceX received a $1.6 billion contract from NASA, and in 2010, the Falcon 9 was launched. SpaceX did not immediately respond to ABC News' request for comment about Musk's rocket design plans. Gesture-controlled interfaces and software isn't science fiction anymore. Devices like Leap Motion are big first steps for the technology, but it doesn't always work as promised, and Musk likely has much bigger plans, considering he has a tendency to dream big. On August 12th, he released his plans for the Hyperloop, which is the thing a high-speed train or transportation system, which is similar to the way the Jetsons family moved.
I saw that when it came out. The idea is that you could go from San Francisco to Los Angeles in 30 minutes.
Yes.
And you could go from East Coast to China in 3 hours.
The same concept is like what those things you see in the movies or Home Depot used to have them where they put a tube in and then they hit
the
button.
Pneumatic tubes. Costco has one.
Yeah. Except, Costco, that's what I was trying to think of.
It looks terrifying.
I don't know. I would do it. Why not?
There are no windows, and it's only six people per pod.
Yeah.
To his point, somehow, since it's air-controlled, you do not feel the G-forces, so you don't feel the acceleration like when you take off on a plane or whatever. It would gradually speed up and gradually slow down so that you wouldn't have that, like, breakneck. Yeah, lunging.
Only if you had a guy who had to take up two seats, then it would just you would be spinning.
Yeah, see, there like has to be weight issues because, there's, my wife heard that. She said, I'll never get on it. And I was like, this is why we don't live on the moon, because of people like you.
Speaking of hat, let's go to the inbox.
I'm in your inbox.
You've got someone in your inbox.
Old reference. Read that one. So somebody wrote and said, why don't you do your segments anymore? And I even posted on our wall and said, we did segments. So
that's funny.
That's why you've been getting segments lately. We don't have much time here, but I definitely wanted to, that one by Canal, he mentioned something.
Yeah. Says, hey, Kevin and Justin, I'd just like to start out by saying I'm really enjoying the podcast at the moment. It could go either way.
Yeah.
I appreciate you selling us.
And open-ended, don't like it anymore.
But to kill time between each new episode, I've been going backwards through all the episodes you've made, and something quite big struck me. There are few really popular game franchises that I've never heard you talk about. And I was hoping I could get your opinion on. These being League of Legends, mm-hmm. Pokemon, The Legend of Zelda, and Final Fantasy. Personally, I've always been into these franchises and was hoping you'd spend a few minutes on a future episode discussing them. Thanks.
League of Legends, Pokemon, Final Fantasy, and...
Legend of Zelda.
Legend of Zelda. Those are all great topics, and we probably should discuss them in a little more depth than just blurring through them. There is the thing about all four of those is that they, well, except for League of Legends, is they're all a little Japanesey, and you and I don't generally get into the ports. League of Legends is based on a Warcraft 3 game map that just blew up into its own thing, and I don't get it. Have you played it?
No, I've no. That's the thing. I felt when I read you this email, and you're like, oh, let's talk about that. I'm like, well, I hope you got something to say because I've never played any of these games.
Yeah, I mean, Pokemon.
I played a little Final Fantasy because I was like, what's all the hype?
Yeah, you got to try that out. Did you, and you never played Pokemon?
Nope.
Yeah, I played Pokemon to check it out when it was first new on the Game Boy. And that was pretty fun. And Legend of Zelda, of course you played Legend of Zelda the first one.
Yeah, but I never got into it.
Yeah, it was a tougher game.
I even played, there was when they first revamped it, I think, for the GameCube or 64 or something like that.
Or the Wii.
I played that. I didn't play it on the Wii, but I played that report and I still was like, eh.
Yeah, they require a different type of, they're just not our style. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of games that I think float past our desk that I would say that's not a game or you know, you're cheating. Obviously, we've talked a lot about mobile games and such and how they don't really resonate as games and such, and they're just more of a time waster, like Farmville or
Candy Crush.
I was going to talk about Candy Crush. So those games, I think they achieve a lot of the great things that games do, and I think Pokemon has some really great elements to it. Certainly, the Gotta Catch 'Em All thing really changed gaming, changed a lot of television as well.
Skylanders.
Yeah, they really. I think Skylanders definitely looked at Pokemon when they were developing this. They had a game archetype that made sense to do.
And
that.
Imagine if they would have been able to do Skylanders like 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when Pokemon was probably at close to its height.
Yeah.
And almost on it, like then it would have been like, oh, I said the Skylanders would have been looked upon as a Pokemon knockoff.
Yeah, like a toy based Pokemon,
like Digimon or something was one of them that actually did pretty good, but it was.
Or go the other way. Could you imagine Pokemon being generated with toys? Yeah. When I learned, I didn't know Pokemon was made by Nintendo, was a Nintendo product, and I was
I didn't know that either.
Those guys have everything. I like how I feel about Disney now, how they have Disney, they have Marvel and Star Wars. I'm like, what more do they own? Like, how do they also own Pokemon? It's such a big franchise.
cut to Disney boardroom. He's right. Let's get Pokemon.
Let's buy
Nintendo.
Close. I really feel I would not be surprised if Disney buys Nintendo. That's the next thing that we see. Like that. Like when they bought Marvel, our minds were blown. When they bought Star Wars, we went, "Oh, that's why half the rides in the park are Star Wars." When they bought Pixar, it was like, "Didn't you already own that?" But when they buy Nintendo, I think we'll be like, "Oh," and then it'll make a ton of sense because we already see a lot of their characters meshing. Well, they reported that Mario will be in Wreck-It Ralph 2, and he'll have an actual important role. So way to go, Charles Martinet. You'll be in a film. But League of Legends is boring. It's pretty boring. The point, you know, and you know what? Maybe we should get some LOL people in here to talk about it. But I loaded it up and because it's huge. People, there are tournaments. It's as big as StarCraft or any of those that are willing to play it. But from what I can understand, the point of the game is to know when to push forward and know when to run away. And that's it. That's the whole point of the game.
Kenny Rogers is probably the best person then.
He would kill at this. Yeah, he would be like, "I'll level up my dwarf, whatever it is." There's no variation really in the skills. You level up a character.
You got to level up your dwarf when he's sitting at the table.
I would love to hear from some people of why they play that game. Let's put that on the docket as something to talk about next time.
Yeah, post it on the Facebook page, or you could send it in to show@gamerlandpodcast.com.
And if you play LOL, like if you've clocked 100 hours, I want to hear from, not if you played it like I did for a minute, but like if it's your game, let us know. Let's have you on the show because I want to hear from somebody that plays LOL, Little League of Legends.
They have 7 days to go get LOL. Like, people really want to be on the show that bad.
Yeah. I played it for 100 hours straight. You had a couple other great emails. We were running out of time.
I can crank them through.
Yeah, let's just go to David's email.
David, or you mean Daniel?
Daniel?
Yeah. About Star Trek?
Yes, please.
People are way too critical of the new Star Trek. Christ, there's too much action. The actors are bad. The ship is ugly. Only stupid people watch this. The writers wrote this one bad movie, and I'm basing my reviews of this new movie on that bad movie. The script is bad.
I don't understand.
These are all his things that people
I know.
Are
what
saying.
Is he saying? That they wrote one bad movie, so I'm basing my review on the movie of the movie?
On the new movie, on that bad review movie. So I think what he's saying is that he likes the new Star Trek better than the old Star Trek, is his personal opinion. So therefore, he is frustrated when they are writing the review and keep referencing the other movie. Like he would rather they are treated as separate entities.
I see. But is his point that he's admitting that it's a bad movie?
I think what he's saying is that the first movie is a bad movie, but this one is much better. I think that's what I'm picking
up.
That's what I'm picking
up
from this. And my favorite, it rips off old Star Trek too much, and the new movies are good. So if this fandom can't get its crap together, I'm paraphrasing, I'm going to lose mine. So I'm leaving the fandom. That's what Daniel
How do you
said.
Leave fandom? I'll
show you.
Done. Where'd you go? Hey, don't come back. Come back to the fandom.
I could come back if I want.
Remember the heyday of Star Trek? Klingons and Ferengi and Deep Space Nine and the late to mid-90s.
I haven't seen the new movie yet. I've been salivating to see it.
Oh, really? You haven't seen it?
I want to know.
When you see it.
Jacob wants to see it.
It's not in theaters anymore. It's almost on Amazon.
No, I know. We're waiting for it. It's coming out in a couple weeks on Blu-ray.
Have me over.
You could buy it for $14.99 on Sony and on Amazon right now.
Yeah, see, that's what because I didn't see Lone Ranger and I didn't see Monsters University. I'm dying to see them because they're on my Disney Infinity. They're still in theaters here and there, so I can't get them probably for another 2 months. It's killing me because I want to see
You could
these
probably
movies.
Play through that Lone Ranger. I've heard it's pretty
awful. Yeah. I've been playing Lone Ranger, but... Okay. But I still want to see it, I want to see why it's pretty bad. But so I get it. If you want to not associate yourself with these haters, I don't blame you. And that Justin and I are pretty. I'm a very avid Star Trek fan. Justin's always been a strong fan of the Star Treks and has enjoyed them pretty much. But you know, the best part about being an adult fan is that you don't have to join the nerd rage. You can still like something. You can like Phantom Menace.
I can't imagine not liking that movie just because I feel like they had so much fun with what I remember to be the tone of the original cast of the movies. Like
with a modern twist, with a up to date.
Yeah.
Like what you'd expect. Because if you pop it, it's
I
true.
Always,
if you
I
pop
always
in the
hate, though, when people get angry that somebody made something new and it's like they're giving you more though.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to be annoyed because it's like it's this double-edged sword, and we've talked about it. I think it's in my manifesto, the double-edged sword of gaming and franchises in general. One of the biggest complaints people have is that Hollywood has no original ideas, that we see the same thing again and again and again. But you won't go see the new idea movie unless it's got a cast member you know, a director you know, a producer you know, or from a story you know, or a book you've read, or a game you've played, unless it's you.
But I think, to be fair, the anomaly to those, like, let's say... what's that? What's the one with Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence... Silver Linings Playbook.
Okay.
I remember when he was promoting that movie.
Yeah.
And it had limited theatrical release. Mm-hmm. And he was on Howard Stern, and he was like, it's a movie that I did as a favor to my friend, and then I started reading the script, and I think we really did a good thing here. We made a really good movie, and I'm really proud of it. And so he's like, I'm trying to get people to go out and see it, right? And then the more and more people were like, oh my gosh, I saw it and it was amazing. Oh my! Now, you could say that that's hype. Maybe you could say it's not a very good movie. But when I watched it, I was like, I bought into what everybody else was saying. And I think, in my opinion, and like with things like Paranormal Activity, I think with the world, like with the social media aspect of the world we live in today, that if you make something that is good, regardless of who's in it, people are on board.
Here and there, there's
but
still a matter of...
But I think you can't get the funding behind it.
Yeah.
That's where I think the issue lies.
It's both and, because then...
You can't make a Star Trek movie like that if it's not Star Trek.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But look at, like, Kickstarter.
You can't spend all
that money on CG. So the Kickstarter stuff that kills is the stuff that's popular. Veronica Mars, right? These things that just blow up overnight, because they're stuff that I have already trusted, that I want more of. So that's the things that I'm willing to invest in, even when a studio is not willing to foot the bill. well. But even Star Wars, the very first Star Wars movie, had one of the most recognizable actors in it. I mean, there were a slew of no names. Mark Hamill, even Harrison Ford was nobody. Carrie Fisher, they had done things here and there, but they weren't huge. I guess Harrison Ford was in 62, whatever that film was. But
American Graffiti.
Yeah. Which
he was originally a carpenter on, and then George Lucas threw him in the movie.
That's right. And that's how we have one of the greatest American actors of all time. But but my point was, it had Sir Ian McKellen, or whatever his name is. I mean, a huge name on top of that. And that was a creative property that broke all sorts of boundaries and stuff. So, but that was a drawing point to it, that it had this actor with this rich, deep history within it. So I just say, my point is this, is that no, it's both sides of the coin, that Hollywood is only willing to make the movies because it's really the only ones that people are willing to go see. And even your example of Silver Lining Playbooks has two or three major celebrities in the cast.
But I'm saying it wasn't promoted.
Yeah.
It wasn't promoted in the way that, say, Star Trek Into Darkness was.
But
you wouldn't see television ads coming out the yin-yang.
That's because they didn't spend as much
money. To me, I think that the reason why you have Robert De Niro, I'm pulling his name.
Yeah, whatever.
Rush Hour.
Yeah.
Chris Tucker, Jennifer Lawrence, Bradley Cooper, all amazing known names in this movie. I think it's because they all read the script and like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I want in. And they're using their weight to oddly do something interesting.
But name a franchise, name a property, and we've talked about this in gaming world as well, that isn't already associated with something you know that is on the mainstream.
There isn't. Yeah.
It's always a stepping stone from something else.
But I think it's also, and maybe we're saying the same thing, it's that one begets the other in that that's the easiest way to make some money and make something.
Like
base it on something
so,
that people
so do you Star like. Trek fans that for whatever reason it's like people that complain about the new Star Wars films. It's like it doesn't your in love for Star Wars is not ruined by the new movies. They're just something else. Yeah. So you have to be okay with it. If you love Star Trek, I love Star Trek. It shaped my childhood and my adulthood, my young adulthood, the Star Trek's Next Generation, Deep Space Nine. That's not an exaggeration. They shaped my young adulthood. When the new movie came out back in whatever, 2008 or 2009, and they rewrote the continuity, I was able to look at it and be like, that's this Star Trek. I have my Star Trek. It doesn't change anything. So I agree with you. You do not have to leave the fandom. Just don't associate with those fans. Yeah.
There
are plenty of us that can rationalize both and be just as happy.
But not me.
Yeah, you hate that Star Trek. You haven't even seen it. You're going to like it.
I'm excited for
it. I do recommend that you watch the trilogy sometime soon, if you haven't recently.
The trilogy.
Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock, New Hope.
Oh, okay.
Pop
New
those
Hope.
In. Oh, Voyage
Home. Did you do a Star Wars crossover?
I did. Wow, that's crazy.
Spoilers!
Star Trek 4 and Star Wars 4, and I crossed them in my head and made it New Hope.
Nice.
Wow. My brain is broken.
All right, that's our show. You can send us an email to show@gamerlandpodcast.com. Don't forget to send us an email if you are an avid fan of League of Legends. Because Kevin would like to hear. I would too.
Let's have you on. Yeah.
Also,
you live in LA, you can come over and I'll make you chili.
If you're like, hey, I don't like email, I would like to do things the newfangled way, then join the conversation with us on facebook.com/GamerlandPodcast or follow us on the Twitter tweets @GamerlandPod. What else? Oh, go to facebook.com/IWantSlyCooper in his own animated series so we can Betty White this bitch and get it on television. All that stuff would be awesome.
Yes,
if you did it all.
We shall rule the world. Is it Studio B? Is that what you're calling it?
No, my dad just came up
why
with
that
name.
Why did he come up with that name?
I don't know.
Not even Studio W or?
I don't know. I can call it Studio B. I don't care.
I'm just asking.
Fine, my dad named it. I don't have a name for it. Studio B. Yay! On behalf of my new friend, Kevin Miller, Justin Worship, saying,
okay, bye.
Every time.